to the member Husseini with a loud salawat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله I greet you with the greeting of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi barakatuh. I offer you my condolences on this night when we commemorate the passing of your Shaheed, your martyr, Hussein ibn Ali, the son of Rasulullah. I offer my condolences to you and your heart and soul for the grief that you will have between now and inshallah for the rest of your life for the son of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Jafar. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide myself, my tongue, and all of us that inshallah through these days we're able to learn something, we're able to gain something, we're able to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, it's funny, the brother and the sister had just read an ayat from the Quran that I figured I might be a little, start off with where it says, at the end it says, enter in my service, wa dakhli janati. It says, enter into my paradise. Let's start with that. Enter into my paradise. And it's interesting here because when we talk about Jannah and paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that only place in that ayat of the Quran is where he says Jannati, meaning his what? His paradise. I mean, there's different levels of paradise or Bahesh, they say, but there's only one that is his, that belongs to him. That in the Quran, they say, you know, levels, and they usually use it in the plural. But for whatever reason, that ayat, they use it there. And they say the soul is content. It's content with Allah and Allah's content with the soul. And I've read that, that this also refers to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that this ayat was came down or revealed or somehow they heard him say it. But you know, it could be highly geographic. I'm not going to say that, but we could also say it refers to the fact that when Hussein ibn Ali lost his head and was Shaheed at Karbala, obviously he entered into what paradise? Jannati. He entered into the highest of paradise and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I got a speech prepared for you. It may be a little off the cuff. For various reasons, I will say that I'm prepared and not prepared. Not prepared because I don't want to be prepared, but there may be a special guest, I guess they say, who come and he may give an English speech. I'm not supposed to tell you, but at this point, I could really care less because I figure that in the point of departure at this point in life is too much tarof. You know what tarof is? Maybe Pakistanis, y'all got another word for it, right? In English, we would just say, not keeping it real, being fake. And the reality is that it's unfortunate, but Hussein ibn Ali did not die for us to be fake people. The blood of Plain of Karbala was not there for us to be pretentious. You know what the word pretentious means? It's like you act like you really are something and you're really not. Came here for us to keep it real and be real about it. And you can't sit here and tell a lie about something. You got to tell the truth. Some people may like it. They don't like it. I told them one time when I was talking to the young kids and I talked to the adults, my mama might not be a Muslim. She gave me some good advice. She said, we got an old saying in black folks. They say this. They say, tell the truth and shame the devil. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Meaning, like, what you should do? Tell the truth. They have an old Persian saying. I never understood it, but after I went to Iran, I kind of understood it. There's an old wise saying. There was an Iranian man, an old guy. He had a lantern, and he was walking through the bazaar in daytime with a lantern. They said, why do you have a lantern? He said, I'm just looking for one truthful person. I was like, hey, man, that's pretty interesting. Because, you know, I'm reading it. I'm in America. I don't understand it. Then I get to the Muslim world. I'm like, hey, Muslims lie. Oh, goodness gracious. They ain't supposed to lie. But I realize that with all our faults and all the mistakes that Muslims make, all the false mistakes that people make, we're all human beings. And I think that's the beauty of it, isn't it? The beauty of falling down is the ability to what? Get back up. The ability to have a mistake and come back from that mistake and still progress and be successful, that's part of greatness, isn't it? Steadfastness, endurance, all going through hardships. And through my life, I sometimes, you ever complain? Just the other day, a guy from Iranian TV interviewed me about Hajj. And he said, you know, anybody here went to Hajj recently, came back? Nobody went to Hajj? Alhamdulillah, one person. I want to have a Haji in here, you know, we need some blessings, right? So, came to go to Hajj. They say, when you see the Kaaba, what you do? Ask for anything you want. Anything you want. So I remember what I asked the first time I went to Mecca, right? I was like, boom. And then sometimes I complain about my life being problematic, right? But I asked, it's like Allah gave me what I asked for. Why am I complaining? You ever ask for something and you know it's good, but you're going through hardship to get it and you're complaining about it? You're like, hey, I did ask for it. It's like, I can't say, hey, I want a Benz, right? And then I go outside and everything and, you know, I say, I want to get a Benz. And I get hit by a Benz on Voss Avenue, right? Boom. Hey, you asked for a Benz. Here, you got it. Maybe not the way I wanted it, but I received a Benz. So sometimes we ask for things and they come to us. But when they come to us, they come to us as blessings. We know that hardship, they say this, hardship comes to the believer like rain to what? Rain to the earth. And to me, one of the most blessed things of being a Muslim and a lover of Hussein ibn Ali and a lover of Ahl al-Bayt is we got hardships coming, don't we? So why do we complain? We should be the least complaining people in the world, right? If you say you love Ahl al-Bayt, then prepare for what? Prepare for hardship. Have you guys ever read those books where they say, these are the characteristics of Ahl al-Bayt? You're like, mashallah, and we close the book. But we never ask, are we those people, do we? We say, man, alhamdulillah, there's some good people like that. But we're not those people. But I think about it because when I look at life for myself and for us all and everything, I think Allah bless us with the reality of wujud, or let's say existence, right? That's the beauty, isn't it? Existence, reality, to understand the true reality. And I think about that because sometimes in life you look at things, you try to understand things, and I like to examine my life. You guys like examining your lives? If I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you like a teacher now because that's what I do, right? Contrary to what other people think, I do feel I can teach. And I challenge you. They asked me one time, what kind of teacher are you? I said, when I walk in the classroom, I'm going to make magic. Why shouldn't I? That's what I should do, shouldn't I? Might not be the best person, but I'm going to leave the classroom knowing I gave my best. And if anybody else in here is a teacher, I will say that being a teacher is the best profession you could ever be. Even if you're doing something else, still be a teacher. Still be a teacher. You know why? Because a teacher is also a student, isn't they? Because in order to be a good teacher, you got to know how to be a student. And teachers themselves are the people who they give lessons and they teach us stuff and they educate us and they teach us things. I mean, the teacher is definitely the least, the person who's low totem pole, right? Be honest, parents. How many of you guys say, hey, son, hey, daughter, I want you to be a teacher? Huh? Right? Now, if a teacher made $120,000, we'd be like, yeah, we need you to be a teacher, right? Money motivates us, not teaching. But I'm saying everybody here, we got the ability to be a teacher. We all can teach somebody something, right? But the one thing about being a teacher is being able to say, I don't know. And I don't know that. Because it's humility, right? And ilm and knowledge is like that. You just teach, you say, hey, I like it. But one of the best things about being a teacher, I learned from my mother because she's a teacher, so I'm a little biased about teachers, right? And one day we were driving in the beautiful Bay Area. Love the place, right? And everybody been there, you drive by and you see the nice, beautiful Golden Gate Bridge. And I saw the Golden Gate Bridge, and I said, hey, you know, who made, you know, how do they make that? I was a little kid. She says, oh, engineers come and engineers make it, right? I was like, man, engineers are important people. So I said to my mom, I said, well, what do you do that's important in life? Everybody else makes bridges, does all these things. Well, what do you do that's important? You're just a teacher. She said, well, think about this. If I didn't teach 2 + 2 = 4, there wouldn't be an engineer to build that bridge. I was like, that's a good point. But sometimes, you know, you got to get humbled. And I realized that even the small teacher, even the elementary, even the one who teaches the kids A and B and C and all those things, they're building blocks to build what? To build the future that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And so for all you guys here, students, if you get a chance, go hug your teacher and say thank you to your teacher. Not me, I know my students. I'm not saying come say it to me because I already know I'm a good teacher. I don't need you guys to make me feel good, right? But tell your teachers, you know, we always have teachers, like alhamdulillah, Al-Hadi today gave awards to the teachers expressing the good things for the teachers here. Man, I don't need that from the teachers. I need my students to tell me I'm a good teacher. That's going to make me feel good, right? Sometimes, you know, you got to tell your teacher, hey, you're doing a good job. Pat him on the back. Give him a gift, right? I think, can you give me a gift? Yeah, brother gave me a gift. Gave me some cookies. He's still in the closet, too, man. He's giving me some cookies, right? I mean, I was like, I just don't even want to open the cookies. I'm so, man, they gave me some cookies, right? That's cute. But teachers teach lessons. And you always get lessons because lessons is what you learn. So today, I know you might think I'm not going nowhere, but trust me, I'm a teacher. I'm going to get someplace, right? I think about, I was telling this earlier today, so for those who are young in school today, you probably heard this part, right? But one of the places I learned a lot of lessons at is watching TV. Astaghfirullah, looks like you astaghfirullah, you watching TV? Hey, I watch TV. When I was little, I wasn't a Muslim, I watched TV. I remember I used to sit up all night with the little black and white, watch Humphrey Bogart movies, you know who he is? Casablanca, watch all these old movies. And I always try to learn something. But even today, when I go to the movies or I watch TV, you know what I always say? I say, Bismillah. Oh Allah, whatever I watch, let me learn something to make me a better slave of thee. And anything I watch, Allah, if it's bad, take it what? Take it away from me. But there are lessons in movies, right? And they got certain type of movies that are more better than other, famous and more important than other movies. And they call them epics. You ever heard the word epic? An epic movie. Man, this is a big movie. This is a grand movie. This is a grand scale movie. One of the movies that was an epic is old Lawrence of Arabia. You ever see that one? You know, Lawrence of Arabia. He went out there and what did he do? He just helped destroy the Muslim world, didn't he? He went in there and it was old Anthony Quinn. He was in the movie and everything and Peter O'Toole and those guys. And they show the history and it's long and it's drawn out. But people sit there and they get pulled into the movie. They get pulled into this epic movie and they're like, hey, man, this is grand. This is big. Look at this. But you can learn from it, can't you? Sometimes a little boring, but you can still learn from those movies. Another epic is, my friend, we had an argument about this, me and one of the brothers, I won't say his name. We always argue about this movie, because I don't think it's a big movie, but it's an epic movie. You guys ever see Braveheart? He loved Braveheart. You know what I'm saying? Mel Gibson getting pulled up and everything. They're stretching him out. He's fighting for justice and everything. Gets stabbed. And he's got this, you know, this iftikhar, this honor and dignity, and he's fighting everything. I just don't like it because, you know, I'm kind of like anti-European sometimes, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to colonialism. But at the same time, you know, I got to kind of go to the Eastern world, right, to get my epics. Huh? Scottish? Hey, somewhere up there. I see, I don't even know it, but it was a famous movie. But it was an epic. Do you agree? And that was one of the most sold movies around. My epic movie that I liked the best, I got two. One of them, I didn't like it, but then my son, he got me to like it. It's called Star Wars. Seriously. I mean, my son, he had a debate with one of the guys here, and they had who knows the most Star Wars characters. So they were debating, and Yaya won. I was proud of him. I was like, hey. You know what I mean? I bought him a Star Wars Lego. Him and my wife play it all the time and everything, and they fighting all over it. But Star Wars is an epic movie. Anything's an epic movie, you can go buy a little cartoon character for it, right? If you can buy a character for it, it must be an epic. So I'm watching Star Wars, but I realized this is the big thing. I'm not telling you guys to go get Star Wars. But for a little kid, it's kind of good because the epic movie is about good verse. Evil. You got Darth Vader, Darth Maul. I mean, he tell me some names I don't know because I just want the old ones, right? You got all these bad people, right? The stormtroopers and everything. They walk around, they're stomping and everything. And then you got what? You got Luke, Princess Leia, Chewbacca, Han Solo. So here it is, this epic tale of people fighting for good, fighting for evil. Then they got the Force, you know. Well, y'all might be too young, but I remember, you know, you want to put the thing on, say, may the Force. Actually, be honest with you, this may sound funny. That part is one of my first introductions to Islam, right? It's like there's a Force out there of good, and, you know, it's like, oh, Allah, let me connect with it. Remember, you're not Muslim. Some of these things are part of your fitrah. But, you know, Luke goes and he gets these powers and everything. And then later on, they got all the other movies, and they keep going. We were talking the other day that my brother-in-law, Sheikh Fahim, we had a big discussion because we was watching the last one. And you know, in the last one, there's the evil person, right? Who kills the evil person? Anybody know? Huh? Darth Vader kills the evil guy in the end because the evil guy was trying to kill his what? His son. So we had a debate. Do you think Darth Vader made repentance at the end and would he go to heaven? See, this is 20. You learn lessons, right? Because think about it. That may sound simple to you, but that's a good question. Here's a guy who did all this evil. He blew up a planet. You know what I mean? How many people were on the planet? He blew up a whole planet, and he killed somebody. Did he get repentance, or in the end, when he made his repentance, did he not get accepted? So that's, you know, Star Wars, epic, good and evil. My favorite one is, though, The Godfather. Have you guys ever seen the whole Godfather series? It's a beautiful movie. It's a beautiful movie because it's made beautiful. It shows weddings. It shows killing, murder, and all that. I mean, dang, think about that. It pulls you in. People getting murdered. People getting beat up. People, oh, he strangled them. Did you see that? It's like a soap opera. An epic movie is like a soap opera, but it's in, like, you know, this time frame, right? For us sometimes, how many of y'all watch soap operas? Please don't raise your hand over here. Anybody watch soap operas? Okay. My mom watched soap operas all the time. Because she wants me, what's going to happen to so-and-so next week, right? Who's ever this? What's going on with that? But Godfather is like a big soap opera in it, right? And then you got Michael, Sonny, and they're fighting. My favorite one is the third one, because what does Michael do in the end of the third one? He goes to the Catholic Church and makes what? Remember, he makes Tauba. He says, oh God, can you forgive me for all the bad things I did and everything? And in the end, who gets shot and killed? His daughter. Again, lessons. He goes through this process. He does all this evil. And in the end, he wants to make what? Tauba. The one thing I'm saying to you is, remember this. Our fitra is the same fitra inside every human being. There's nothing different between your fitra and somebody else's fitra. The difference is you have accepted the sharia that accepts your fitra within the concept of al-Islam. The non-Muslim, they have it in them. They just are lost trying to find their way. Trying to find their way. And so, I always liked The Godfather. And I ain't going to talk about too many other epics, right? Birth of a Nation was epic. Anybody see that? Man, goodness gracious. Y'all don't watch movies, do y'all? Birth of a Nation was the first movie ever made in America. Did you know that? It's about, what do you call that? White people killing black people because they were messing around with white women. First movie ever made, D.F. Griffith. The President of the United States said it's the greatest movie ever made. D.W. Griffith, The Birth of a Nation. Because they make epics. Because the reason they make epic movies is because they want their people to buy into the heroes and the sheroes. I'm sorry, sheroes, that's the word we mean for heroes, but I realized later my student told me heroine is the better word for it, right? But heroes and sheroes of the world. I mean, you got a hero. You got somebody you like. You got good people. You got bad people. You got all these people. They want you to identify with them, right? There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, have you guys ever sat around and you watched Star Wars and say, hey, if you could be in Star Wars, which character would you be? You know, because everybody want to pick a character, right? I want to be this person. I want to be that person. But these stories and these epic stories, they have good and evil. They have struggle. They have strategy. They have love lines. They have fairy tales. Like Lord of the Rings. You think that's epic? I couldn't sit down that long. So that to me, it just became half of an epic because I have to leave. It's just too long. But, you know, what's the little guy's name? Huh? Frodo. Little photos on a quest, right, with a little ring and everything. He's going through all these things. They got a little funny man, look like a, what do you call that? Maybe he's like, what's his name? Huh? Gold. Goldum. I watched Goldum, man. Goldum is Shaitan to me, man. It's wash. He's like, whispering. What are you going to do over there with it? I mean, think about it. He's just sitting there whispering to him. I'm like, man, this dude's scaring me. I can't even watch the movie. He's like, whispering. Hey, don't go over there. Don't go over there. But you don't realize this. Where do they get these epic stories from? Where do they get them from? They get them from studying nature and human nature. But in the end, there's a gold, there's a golden fleece, there's a giant prize at the end. And that's where we have our heroes come from. And everybody needs a hero, don't they? Everybody needs somebody to look up to, don't they? You can't go to the movie store and save a movie or a story that doesn't have a hero in it. An epic tale, something that makes you feel good, a legend. I was saying earlier today that everybody got a legend who they look up to, right? I remember Imam Musa. Y'all know Imam Musa, right? He used to tell me that he gave a talk to some, like, little juvenile delinquents I used to work with. That's why Al-Hadi's so good. I used to work with juvenile delinquents, right? Hope we don't have none there, right? But, you know, he was sitting there. He said, I had a role model. They said, who was your role model? He said, my role model was Al Capone. Y'all know who Al Capone is? He said, I want to be a gangster. I want to have a big hat and a brim. And I said, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to be a gangster like Al Capone. And guess what? He went out there and was a gangster like Al Capone. Right? But he said he thought about it. They're giving me a hero in a movie. They're giving me somebody who I want to emulate. I want to be like. But he saw that person having everything. Right? He saw that person being popular, being strong, and being important. But heroes do things. Heroes can change the mentality and affect you and me. Can't they? These stories can affect your psychology and my psychology, your heart and my heart. I'm telling you. But you guys stay away from what you should know, because if they don't affect you, they can affect somebody what? Excuse me, somebody else. Yeah, is there a Bruce Lee? People had a debate whether Bruce Lee was black or Asian. I see, I'm trying to say, I was like, yo, man, Bruce Lee is not black. But black people love him so much they wanted to argue that he was what? And he was black. So you say, why do black people love Bruce Lee so much? Anybody have an idea? Because he kicks what? Exactly. He's a hero because he's fighting the villain and he's beating up the villain and he's being what? He's being victorious. And at the time when Bruce Lee came around, Chinese people were being made fun of. I know we probably don't have no Chinese people here, Japanese or Asians here other than me, but they're being made fun of, they're being done wrong. So he became a hero for the oppressed people. I mean, oppressed people always look for somebody who can stand up for their what? Stand up for their rights. Somebody who's powerful, somebody who's strong, somebody who won't back down. And every movie you see, they have that same concept in it. Don't back down. Stand up. Be strong. Don't be weak. And that's what makes it an epic. You cry for those people, right? You get strong for those people. When they get died, you root. You ever see a movie and you're rooting for them? You're rooting for somebody. I saw a movie, and I won't tell you, one of the brothers here, he's like, he saw the movie with me. It's kind of a movie, I won't say the name, right? And you know, he's sitting there, he said, hey, man, this is a bad movie, man. It's about bad people. I said, just watch the movie to the end. Because guess what? Even those people who are on drugs, on crack out in the corner, you don't think they got dreams too? You think only you guys got dreams? You don't think somebody sleeping on the street don't got a dream? You think some girl out here acting crazy, she don't got a dream? You don't think somebody in prison don't got a dream? Everybody got dreams, it ain't just you. And somebody with a dream got to latch on to a hero, don't they? They got to latch on to a story. They want to latch on and feel good. And even in the end, if they catch on, they see somebody win. They may not win, but they feel good because they saw the other person what? They saw the other person win. This is part of our nature that we love a hero. We love an epic tale. We love an epic story. And so here we are on the night when the greatest story, one of the greatest stories that ever could be told, is the epic tale of the son of Rasulullah Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is an epic tale of Sayyidina Shahada. This is an epic tale of Ibn Rasulullah, the son of Fatima Zahra salam alayha. It has heroes in it, doesn't it? Aren't we going to sit here and for the next days talk about the heroes of the plain of Karbala? If you want a hero and you want to attach yourself to, right? Why should you attach yourself to Al Pacino or Scarface or somebody like that? Not that y'all would do it, but why would you not attach yourself to Hussein ibn Ali? Why would you not attach yourself to a heroine like Zainab al-Kubra? Here's an epic tale and an epic story from the beginning to the end. And this epic tale and this epic story, what is it doing? It's asking you, come. Join into this story. Enter into this story. Open this book up. If the Plain of Karbala was a book, and we wrote it in a book, and we wrote it as a story, and we put it at Barnes and Nobles and sold it, I bet the Muhammadan Muslims would go and buy it. Are you ready to open the book of this epic tale up? Are you ready to say, hey, you know what? Let me come here and let me learn something about Hussein ibn Ali. Because guess what? You need a hero too, don't you? I need a hero. I'm a weak guy. I'll sit up here, like we're talking about keeping it real, right? Let's keep it real. I'm weak. I need somebody to look up to. Because when I look in the mirror, I don't see a strong person. When I look in the mirror, I see somebody who needs help. When I look in the mirror, I be real about it. They used to be on Halloween all the time. What about Halloween, brother? I said, Halloween? What for what? If you want to see something scary, just go look in the mirror and be real about what you're looking at. Truly, if you want to be honest about something that you want to look at your nose, look at yourself, and ask yourself, do you not need a hero to help fix you? Don't you need a hero to say, hey, this is the right way to go? And Allah gave us a hero. But he didn't just say, here's a hero. This hero came and is showing an epic tale, a story that has resistance in it, doesn't it? It's a story of love, isn't it? It's a story of sacrifice, isn't it? It's a story about family, isn't it? Every tale and every concept in the plain of Karbala, it is epic. It is great. It is beautiful. And so here we go as we try to ask ourselves, what can I learn about Hussein ibn Ali during this time frame? Now, I say that because, and I include myself in this statement, there's more people here tonight than there was last night. Do you agree? Now, keeping it real. Some of us probably ain't been around here that long since last year, right? It reminds me of church when I used to go on Easter Sunday. Anybody else who was a Christian? And you say, hey, man, I saw you. Hey, you got the new suit, too. Yeah, but I'm not going to see you till what? Easter? Christmas time again. You only got two holidays. But I'm not going to point and say bad thing because I don't think it's bad. Because guess what? You probably live across the street. You see me here less and less, too, don't you? So I'm keeping it real. I'm pointing my finger at myself. But the reason is that I realize is that we all have our own personal reasons why we don't come. Throw that away today. Throw that away tonight. And ask yourself, I'm here now. I'm here today. And I want to learn more about the epic tale of Hussein ibn Ali. I'm going to come here and learn something. And even if I don't come back till next year, I'm going to dedicate myself for the next 10 to 12 days to learn even one iota of Hussein ibn Ali. If you left here with one little thing you learn about Imam Hussein, ladies and gentlemen, and it changed your life, it's better than learning absolutely what? Nothing. See, I'm not the guy who's going to criticize you and knock you on the head and be a policeman. They used to make fun of me because I used to be the Imam of Juma at UC Berkeley. They say, hey, man, you got people who come to Juma, and after Juma, they go into the party. I'm like, I have nothing to do with that. My goal is just help you get into the masjid. Because I believe if you keep praying, if you keep coming to the programs, and you keep doing it, there's something in your heart that at some point, what's going to happen? You're going to change. I don't see the bottle half empty. I see it half what? Half full. We should start seeing it half full. So some people are like, hey, man, here they come again. Oh, we got the Mojada Muslims. Alhamdulillah, I don't got a problem with Mojada Muslims. Better now than never, true? When we look at our youth, right, we got to come here now. We got to take advantage of it. We got to tell the story. We got to share the story. We got to share the experiences, and we have to learn about what's going on. And so I said, because coming here tonight, it's like a caravan. You know what a caravan is? Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, has a caravan. They say, Ahangaran, I was listening to him doing some no-outs before I came here. He said, there is a caravan that wants to go to Karbala. There is a caravan of Muslim, of lovers. There's a caravan of soldiers of Imam Zaman. There's a caravan of people from all over the world. At this point right now in this day, all around the world, in Qom, in Najaf, in Karachi, in Houston, in London, in San Francisco, in Australia, in Lebanon, in Palestine, all over Africa, all over the world, there are lovers of Hussein bin Ali who are coming together to remember this epic story. True or not? We should feel happy that Allah has blessed us, that we have come together to be on the caravan of love. The caravan of love, Ahl al-Bayt. So if you're on that train tonight, and you've come here to join in and learn about your religion, and learn about Hussein bin Ali, then you should feel good about yourself, because you have joined that caravan. And so I say, all of us together, appreciate yourself that you walked into a masjid today. Pat yourself on the back that you came here to learn about Hussein bin Ali. Pat yourself and say, oh Allah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to make it from one year to the next. Oh Allah, thank you for giving me the opportunity that I may shed a tear for Hussein ibn Ali. Because maybe that tear you shed, maybe that one tear you shed will extinguish the flames of the fire of hell for the sin that you've done. You never know. Maybe that tear that you shed, Hussein ibn Ali will shafa for you on day of judgment. Maybe that tear that you shed for Hussein ibn Ali, Sakina will help a sister one day in her troubled life now. So this is a caravan. And this caravan is going where? It is going to the plain of Karbala. This story is going where? To the plain of Karbala. This story is going where? It is taking us from point A to point B. Allah says, and where are you going? And then Allah says, and to your Lord is the goal. So now is the day. Today is the day that we take a step. We say, Allah, maybe we sinned all day. Maybe we didn't wrong. But Allah, today, can I take a step towards you? He said, well, what step can you take towards Allah today? Take a step toward the plain of Karbala. Open your heart to the plain of Karbala. Be real about the plain of Karbala. Because on this caravan is not a caravan of Shia. It is not a caravan of Sunni. This caravan of love for Hussein ibn Ali is a caravan for humanity. It is a caravan for all the oppressed people in the world. The blood of Hussein ibn Ali was spilled for what? For al-Islam. And if we cannot appreciate that, what can you appreciate? Somebody once said to me, Hashim, tell me about Islam. I said, go to Karbala. Everything in your deen is found where? At the plain of Karbala. Every lesson you want to learn is found where? At the plain of Karbala. You want to learn how to struggle? Go to Karbala. You want to know what sacrifice is? Go to Karbala. You want to see what it means to wear hijab and the significance of hijab? Go to Karbala. You know, people go, let me tell you the significance of wearing a hijab, sister. I'm not going to tell you nothing. Go to Karbala. Ask Zainab how important it was. Ask Sakina how important it was. You don't have to ask me. Go to Karbala. Brothers, if you want to know what it means to sacrifice for your family, ask Hazan Abbas. If he's not sacrificing when he doesn't drink the water, go to Karbala. Are you ready to sacrifice your family and the hardships you go through? Go to Karbala. If you want to stand, you're going through hunger, go where? Go to Karbala. It is a caravan of lovers that we have been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the trip to the plain of Karbala. So I say to myself and to us all, are we ready to take that trip? Are we ready to get up? Are we ready to stand up and go to the plain of Karbala? Open our hearts, open our minds, and say, Ya Hussein ibn Ali, Ya Shahadat Karbala, we are in Labaik Hussein al-Labaik. I'm ready for you. I'm not going to. I've sinned. I've done wrong. But Hussein, for the love of you and the blood of your family, I am here. Labaik Allahumma labaik. Labaik Hussein labaik. Sometime tonight, say labaik Hussein labaik. I am here, Hussein. I am here. I have sinned. But I am here, Hussein ibn Ali. I was not there. If I was there, what would I do? This is preparing for the plain of Karbala. And some people, we don't think about it, but are we ready to go there? I say yes. When I look here, I look at the hearts and the believers. I see the spirit flowing. As the sun went down and the new year began, you could feel the energy of the lovers of Hussein ibn Ali. Because the love of Hussein ibn Ali Who is the biggest person on this day who will mourn Hussein ibn Ali? Who is the one who is the first to mourn Imam Hussein Ali on this day? No other than Imam Zaman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawat. But Imam Zaman they say he's the one who is mourning today. For he is the avenger of the blood of Hussein ibn Ali. So if we are on the caravan of Hussein, then therefore are we not on the caravan of Imam Zaman. If you love Imam Zaman, then you must join this caravan. So, if you got a friend, maybe they're not practicing. Maybe they ain't praying. Maybe they drinking a little liquor. Maybe they doing something bad. Maybe they're not acting right. Tell them to join the caravan of Hussein ibn Ali. Don't never give up on nobody. Don't never give up on a friend. Never give up on a family member who would not be practicing Islam. Because Hussein ibn Ali and the Shafa Hussein is so strong that you can say what you want to say. But by his blood and his sacrifice and his Shafa, anybody can come back to this what? To this deen. So in this time, this is the time for us to say, hey, I want to go. I'm ready to join the caravan. I'm going. I love it. I want to join in. I'm part of it. We're part metaphysically. We are connected now with all the lovers of Hussein ibn Ali all around the world. And guess what? If there's somebody on Mars, I'm sure they love Hussein ibn Ali too. Wherever there's people who love God, there's always going to be people who love Hussein. If you love Hussein, then you love God. Because God loves, Allah loves who? Hussein ibn Ali. So if we love Hussein, I better even say this. By loving Hussein, you're expressing your love to God. Because Allah has said what? You must love what? Ahl al-Bayt. But before I end, I say this. Before you do anything, you know what you should do? Prepare. You should get prepared for something. How do you prepare for a thing, right? Like I have students, they come to class, and we got a lot of teachers here. If I got a student, they walk into class, I'm a nice guy, I probably wouldn't say nothing, right? But most students should walk in having what? A pencil and a what? And hopefully if we have a book, they should bring in their what? If they come in here, they have nothing, like, hey, I'm like, they're not ready. And if they're not ready, they're not going to what? They're not going to learn nothing. So you got to prepare for Karbala. It's not enough for me to tell you, join the caravan. Well, join the caravan and prepare. I mean, if I'm going on a trip, I say, hey, let's all go to sunny California, right? It wasn't sunny last week, but it's going to get sunny again, right? Let's go to sunny California. We're going to go. Who here is not going to pack? Aren't we going to pack bags? You're going to get prepared. You're going to do something to get ready, right? Or even better yet, if you're going to go meet somebody, aren't you going to prepare? If we say this is a caravan of lovers, then should not we get prepared to go meet the loved one? Should not we be prepared to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Should not we be prepared to go to the plain of Karbala? Now you say, how do I prepare myself to learn something? Preparation of learning. If anything we could do, maybe some of the teachers here, I see a lot of teachers and administrators and everything, listen to your teachers. Because they can tell you how what? To prepare. I was talking to Sister Amina, a great person here, help, trying to help the kids get to college and everything, and she said, hey, how do I get these kids prepared to get to the next level? How do I get them prepared to get to college? Y'all know some of my students. Well, I tell them all the time. I get mad because I think that we're not preparing our children to be ready for college. We're preparing them to get good grades, but not ready for college. How do you prepare somebody to get ready? To learn. To get knowledge. Well, I thought about it for myself. About how do I prepare myself? And I said this. Most of the time, I just put my head in some water and just sit there because water makes you feel what? Calm. I'm really a calm guy, contrary to belief, right? So I said, I'm just going to relax. But I said to myself, the best way to learn something is you have to have a clear what? A clear mind. A clear head. And sometimes my head be spinning. You ever had your head just spinning? Like dizzy, you're someplace else and everything? I tell the class in the morning, my morning classes, y'all should come to my morning class just to witness something, right? I tell them all the time, I'll be sitting like this. Trying to wake up. And I think the reason is I live too close, so I just got out of bed and I'm running over here just to get here, right? If I live farther away, I got to get up, get ready to get here. But when you first get up, they say that your spirit what? When you wake up, your spirit does what? Goes back into your what? Your body, right? I think sometimes I'm here, but my spirit ain't all the way in, and it's like I'm trying to push it like, get in, because like I'm just kind of like dazed, because my mind's not there. And I was thinking about how do you get your mind clear? and get rid of the stuff in it. So last week I was at this great conference, the MSA PhD conference and everything. Had a lot of great speakers and everything. I'm beautiful. Next year, inshallah, I pray everybody you can make it there and, you know, get some revolutionary principles. But I was talking to a guy by Imam Muhammad Al-Assi, and I was just observing him. Because you got to observe the revolutionaries, right? And he had his plate in front of him. And in front of his plate, he had like two little pieces of chicken and some lettuce. I said, hey, man, what's going on, man? I mean, they got all this budinj and rice and, you know, good cello kebab. What's wrong? What are you eating this for? And I thought about it because Imam Musa, if you know him, he eats a little food. He don't eat that much meat. So I'm getting a little old now, Contra. I'm about four. I'm going on 41 now, right? God willing, shall I make it. But I'm like, man, the stomach. Prophet Muhammad said, all diseases start where? In the stomach. So I look. I said, hey, why are you not eating that much food? He said, well, when you eat too much food, you can't see what? Can't see clearly. And I thought about it because, you know, when you're young, see, I'm 41, but I got the spirit of a 15-year-old sometime, right? Probably the behavior of a 12-year-old sometimes too, but God willing, just, you know, stay strong. But your head, when you're young, you eat anything, don't you? I used to go to school, drink a Coca-Cola and some donuts. My teacher said, hey, man, what are you doing? I was like, hey, I'm just trying to stay hyped up. Now I'm paying for it, right? Because my stomach's and my system's all messed up. But when you eat certain foods, it affects your what? Your mind. And so he said, I don't eat a lot of food because it affects my mind. If you don't got a clear mind, you can't what? You can't think and you can't learn. So as we come here, and we want to pray for Hussein Ibn Ali, I got a couple of advices that I learned. Maybe it worked for you. It definitely worked for me. Well, it was working for me. And it helped work every day. That I think will clear your mind. And it's definitely something necessary in preparation for Hussein Ibn Ali. And I think it was for the whole life. But if you can do it now, do it now. It's called, you're going to think this is silly because it's kind of simple, but it works. It's called make tawbah. This may sound silly. I'm trying to tell you, this is one of the biggest blessings Allah gave us. If your head is spinning, you don't feel good, look at your life and see if you're doing something wrong. And if you make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will forgive you and He will clear your what? I'm telling you, listen to me. If you're looking at your life and you wake up in the morning, you're not feeling right, sometimes Allah is sending your body a signal to say you're not living the life I want you to live. It's almost like Allah loves us so much, He puts a mechanism to kind of twirl. Oh, what is it? Oh, okay, I'm not living right. Astaghfirullah, Rabbi wa tubu alayh. If you make tawbah to Allah, He will clear your head, make things easy for you, and teach you. You will learn by making tawbah. Look at your life. Make tawbah. And if you ask for forgiveness and Allah forgives you and you behave the right way, He will clear things and make it easy to what? And make it easy to learn. You say, do you have any proof of this? What does Allah say in the Quran? He says, well, wait, who do you think will be the best teacher? Allah is the best teacher, right? He says, if you purify yourself, I will what? I will teach you. Look at that. Taskiya nafs, knowledge from who? Allah. If we want to learn something, we got to purify ourselves. I'm telling you, brothers, purify. Now, I was thinking about it because I got this book, Greater Sins. This is a scary one. They shouldn't have made it red. That's even make it worse. I'm like, man, make it green or something. So, you know, because this is pretty scary. So I was looking at this story. I want to share this one story with you because I think it's important. Because to me, it's about tawbah. And I'm just going to give you the abridged version of it because it's a pretty long story. It says, there was a guy. And he was asking for tawbah, right? And said, O messenger of Allah, a young man is standing outside the house and weeping upon his youth like a woman mourns the death of her child. He desires to meet you. The Holy Prophet, alayhi salam, ordered that the young man be presented to him. Sa'd came to the Prophet with the youth. And it's funny because we're a lot of youth here today, so really, as youth, listen to this story. He saluted the messenger of Allah. After replying his salam, the Prophet asked the young man the reason for his grief. Why shouldn't I grieve, said the young man. I have committed so many sins that even a few of them are sufficient to earn me hellfire. I'm sure I will be punished for my sins. The messenger of Allah said what? Like the prophet would do. He says, have you committed shirk? I seek refuge to Allah from attributing partners with him. That's what the young kid said. He said, have you murdered one unjustly? He said, no. Allah certainly forgave your sins if they are like a mountain, the Prophet said. But my sins are greater than the mountain, the young man said. Even if your sins are heavier than the seven earths, the seas, the mountains, the trees, and all creatures, Allah will condone them. My sins are heavier than all of these, said the young man. Allah will forgive them even if they are heavier than the heavens, stars, and his throne. The arch and the throne, the young man said, my sins are more than these. Hearing this, the young man fell into Prophet Muhammad said, pity on you, O young man. Who is greater, your sins or your Lord? Hearing this, the young man fell into prostration and said, my Lord is pure. Nothing is greater than him, and he is greater than the greatest thing. Would the high, the mighty Lord not forgive your great sins? Asked the Prophet. No, said the young man and became silent. The Holy Prophet said, fie on you, young man. Can you tell me about one of your great sins? And then the young man said, yes. He said, for 7 years, I used to dig up graves and steal the shrouds. One day, a young girl from the Ansars died. After she buried, I opened the grave in the middle of the night and removed her clothes. I was returning when Shaitan tempted me. I looked at the girl's body and I defiled her chastity. When I was leaving, a voice came behind her head. Fie on you for the chastisement of the day of judgment. You are naked. You have made me naked and unpure. Fie on you, the fire of hell, the voice said to him. Then he said, O messenger of Allah, I think I should not be able to smell even the fragrance of paradise. What do you think? And this is just threw me off right here. The Prophet said, O transgressor, get away from me, said the Prophet, lest the fire, your fire may burn me. How close you are to the fire. So here the Prophet told that guy to do what? Get away. He repeated his sentence a number of times and finally the youth went away. After taking some necessary items, he went to the mountains of Medina. He used to tie his hands behind the neck and plead for forgiveness. I am your sinful slave. Excuse me. He said, O transgressor, get away from me, right? And then he went to the mountains and tied his hands in the neck and pleaded for forgiveness. I am your sinful slave and degraded servant. I regret my deeds, O Allah. I went to your messenger and he sent me away. This has increased my fear. I implore your greatness and do not make hopeless and include me among your mercies. And continue this for 40 days. Even the beasts became to take pity on him. After 40 days passed, he asked, O Lord, what is your decision regarding me? If you have forgiven me, inform your messenger about it. If you have made me a firm decision to punish me, burn me at once or subject me to some other punishment and save me from the last day. Upon this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah down. And this is when this ayah was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad. He says, and those who have committed an indecency or do injustice to their souls, remember Allah and ask forgiveness for their faults. And who forgives the faults but Allah? And those who not knowingly persist in what they have done, are these their reward is forgiveness from their Lord, and gardens beneath which rivers flow to abide in them, and excellent is the reward of those who do good deeds. As soon as this revived ayat came to the Prophet Muhammad, he said, can anybody find where that young man is? And Prophet Muhammad went to that young man and said, good news, young man, Allah has accepted your tawbah. I'm sorry, but it's just, to me, it's very emotional to read the story because I have no doubt that Allah forgives us for every sin we ever committed. That day of reckoning, that day of judgment is real, brothers and sisters. That day could be right now for any of us. That day we have to stand before our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ask to him to keep us from this fire. Sometimes I look at people because I say that we as Muslims, they say, oh Allah, we want Allah to show us mercy for our sins. Should we not show mercy to ourselves, to other brothers and sisters? We have brothers and sisters, we have committed sins against each other, we have done each other wrong. If we want Allah to show us mercy, we should show mercy to other people. We have to ask for forgiveness. If we ask for forgiveness and purify ourselves, then we release ourselves. And then guess what? Then proceed to the plain of Karbala. Proceed to the plain of Karbala with an open heart. Proceed to the plain of Karbala with sin off you. Proceed to the plain of Karbala as a pure one. And Allah will teach you the sacrifices and the struggle of Hussein ibn Ali. Ask for tawbah and do righteous deeds. Ask for Allah to forgive you. Ask Allah to forgive your parents for what they have done. Ask Allah to forgive you for everything that you have done. And know that Allah is merciful. Allah did not create us to punish us. He created us because He loves us. And He has opened the door of repentance as a way and a path of love to Him. Do we believe in it? If you want to understand Tawbah, you want to understand it more, then go to the plain of Karbala. Go to the plain of Karbala and see what is real Tawbah. Go to the plain of Karbala and see the blood of Hussein ibn Ali. And prepare. And go out and do good deeds. Go out and go forth. Go out and get it done. Go out and humble yourself. Go out and lower your head. And ask yourself, how important is Imam Hussein? Now I end with this. We got 5 minutes. They say in the Quran, when the Bani Israel entered the gates of Jerusalem, they laid their head down and they said, Hittatun. Which means what? Forgive me. As we bow our heads to Allah at the plain of Karbala, ask Allah to forgive us for our sins. And not just that. Ask yourself, are you prepared to forgive somebody for the sin they committed against you? Are you prepared to forgive somebody for what they did for you? Because no matter what anybody has done to us wrongly, it is not worse than what they did to the children of Rasulullah, is it? There is nothing that has happened to us that is worse than what happened at the plain of Karbala. Now, there may be some ostentatious people. It doesn't make a difference what they say. You have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart clean, with your heart pure. And so I ask us all that Allah forgive me, you, and all of us for our sins and give us a clear head. Clear your head. Seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek entry into the life of Hussein ibn Ali. Seek entry into the plain of Karbala and find out the life of the chosen one, the Shuhada. Seek it, and Allah will give it to you. If you look for it, it's there. If you want to know your religion, it's there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us that He put us on this caravan. Let us all go out now. Seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, I ask you to do this for me. Pray for me. I need every prayer I can get. Because prayers are the weapon of the what? The weapon of the believer. If you love Hussein ibn Ali, you wish to live the life of Hussein ibn Ali, and you want to die the death of Hussein ibn Ali, I will tell you this because it is in the Quran, but I'm telling you this from talking to people and seeing it. If you try to do good, the shaitan is going to try to do you off the course, isn't he not? He coming at you. His goal is to get you off the course of righteousness. His goal is to get you off the course of Hussein ibn Ali. Stand strong and fight against him. And how do you fight? Dua. Call on Allah. Allah hears your prayer. And if your prayer don't get answered fast, don't get frustrated, don't get upset, don't get mad. Allah hears you. He's going to give it to you when you need it. Trust in Allah, believe in Allah, love Allah. Because Allah loves us. And inshallah, on that last day, when we stand on the day of Qiyamah, when we stand before our Lord, we ask that we don't hear the word go, we hear the word come. Come. Come to me. Come to my paradise. Come to my Jannati, like your sister read at the beginning of the thing, at the beginning of the program. I wish Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we open all our hearts. We learn the lesson of Hussein ibn Ali. And as you pray and cry, remember Hussein ibn Ali and his family. And do me a favor. Pray for the, I'm about to say it in Farsi, but I'll say it in English. The leader of the Inqilab, Ruhullah al-Musavi Khomeini, who gave his life and sacrificed his life in path of Imam Hussein. I mean, I'm sitting here right now. They try to scratch this out, and I'm going to keep it real. That's pathetic to me. This is Sapa, Nahe, Isfahan. These people are true lovers of Hussein. Like, ain't nobody here went to war. Everybody here sitting on a platform talking about they love Hussein. Ain't nobody gave their life up, right? So to me, everybody who says something, I'm holding you to your word, right? If you love Hussein ibn Ali, then love those who actually gave their life fighting for Hussein ibn Ali, right? And we should not do, we should remember all the shahada in the world who really gave their life on that path. Let us not forget them in our dua. Let's not forget Shahid Beheshti and Shahid Bohanar and Shahid Hemet. These are people who fought and gave their life. Those are the real followers of Hussein ibn Ali. They made tawbah and they went to the war front. Inshallah, we're just waiting for our time. May Allah guide us and forgive us. And oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from Shaitan the accursed. Oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me for every sin I have committed in your presence. I ask you, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to forgive all the mu'min and the believers around the world. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to guide our hearts on the caravan of lovers. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look down upon us with pity, for surely we are only human beings. I ask you, Allah, to look down upon the Muzazaf with love and mercy. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to protect Sayyid Ali Khamenei and Daftar al-Rahbari. For surely the enemies of Islam are trying to destroy our Islamic state. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bless all the teachers of the Muslims. I ask you to bless all the teachers who give their life and sacrifice with low pay, with things that don't even get them to get by. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to bless all the teachers who give their life and sacrifice to teach our children to be good followers of Hussein bin Ali. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look down upon all those who are committing sin and have turned them to the way and the path of Hussein ibn Ali. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look down upon those who are living their lives and dying in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Kashmir, in Philistine, in Africa. I ask you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to look down all the muzahs off and let them know that Sayyid al-Hashara gave his life in that cause. I ask you, Allah, to forgive us for our sins and draw us near to you. And I ask you, Allah, with my soul, to curse the enemies of Hussein ibn Ali. I ask you, Allah, to curse the enemies of Hussein ibn Ali, the enemies of Islam. I ask you, Allah, to stop them from their oppression. I ask you, Allah, to forgive us and draw us near to thee, that inshallah we live the life of Hussein, we die the life of Hussein, and inshallah, Allah, I ask you by your grace to enter us into paradise, that we may be with the Ahlul Bayt at the pound of Kafar. And forgive us for our sins, and send peace and blessings on Prophet Muhammad and Holy Ahlul Bayt, and send the Master, our leader, Sahib al-Zaman, as soon as possible, prepare us to be followers for him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The brother going to read a short dua real quick, Ziyat al-Warith real quick, and then we'll end the program.